Amen. Good morning. How are we? Hey, man, I'm grateful for Jay stepping in and taking charge. He did a good job with the youth today, getting to know them. And so grateful for that. God's doing some cool things here. Psalm 96:4 says, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." Our God, this is what's awesome. Our God is not just good, He's great. Right, church? I mean, He's great. And I love sitting here and listening to others read about the greatness of God. He is the God that spoke this world into creation. He is the God that parted the seas. The God that walked on water and told the storm to cease. He is the God that conquered fear. He is the God that conquered death and sin, and the God that will forever reign. He has no beginning and no end. He is the victor and the great I am. Great is our God. What a great time it was for me preparing, reading passage after passage about the majesty, the holiness, the power, the love, and the sovereignty of God. Psalm 23 is what we covered last week. It describes God as what, church? He was our shepherd. How He leads us, He protects us, He provides for us and restores us. He is all of those things and He does all of those things. But He is also a great and mighty and powerful God. Sometimes we just hang out with Him on the authoritative side, and sometimes we just think about Him as the shepherd, but He is both. He is a God that deserves our ultimate and authentic praise. This morning I want to ask you to join me in the book of Psalm, right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm chapter 145. Psalm 145. The heading above this chapter says, "A Psalm of Praise." One of the things we want to look at is, what does real praise to an all-powerful and all-deserving God that is great look like? In its entirety, can somebody tell me what that says? The heading says, "A Psalm of Praise." You guys have that? Psalm of Praise of David. Does anybody say that? Of David? Okay. David's the author that God used to write this passage. He wrote, we know, of at least 73 chapters in Psalm. And David is described in 1 Samuel chapter 13, and also Paul refers back to it in Acts chapter 13 as a man after God's own what, church? A man after God's own heart. Yeah. He's a guy that we can relate to. Jay was talking about this morning with the youth that he can relate to Peter. Right? A guy that puts his foot in his mouth a lot. He messes up, but he serves God. He's faithful to God. Right, Jay? I mean, he's a guy that we can look at. And David's kind of one of those guys that we can look at and we just kind of have a little bit of in common with him. We can relate to him. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. But he messed up too. Right? We mess up, don't we? And he keeps getting caught in sin, but he consistently turns back to his God and he repents. He owns up to his mistakes. But throughout his life, he shows that he has a heart that wants to praise, serve, and obey his God. And as we're going to see in here, he's a man that continually sees and lifts up praises to God that continually restores him, a God that remains unchanged and faithful and holy. I'll tell you what, we're in a world right now of no absolute truth, right? I mean, people don't believe in absolute truth anymore. It depends on where you live at, who you are, what you're thinking, where you were born, all those things. And things are changing. I was listening to somebody speak and they were talking about human knowledge. And they said back 100 years ago, it was human knowledge doubled every 100 years. You get into the 60s, then it was every 25 years. And then now, it's every 18 hours. Human knowledge doubles. I'm like, what? You know, but we have a God that never changes. Amen, church? I mean, He is a faithful God that remains. He just remains. So if you guys would join me this morning, if you guys would stand as we read together Psalm chapter 145 together. A little bit lengthy, but we'll get through it. Psalm 145. David writes, "I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you, or your holy ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all those who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. And the last verse says, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless His holy name forever and ever. Let's pray. God, we love You. We thank You that You are a great God, that we can open up Psalm 145 and just hear David's heart. God, as we go through this sermon today, we go through this message together, we pray, Lord, that we'd be attentive to Your Holy Spirit working in our lives, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would listen and say, is there something that needs to change in my life? Or God, if there's not something that needs to change in my life, thank You that You've already been working in my life. Help us learn how to praise You for Your greatness. We love You, Father, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. As we walk through this psalm, we're going to see an ever-increasing amount of praise to a great God. At the beginning in the first part, we're going to focus on David. Then he's joined by others, and then we're going to see that all creation joined in. So we're going to divide it into those sections this morning. The first that we see is David and his personal praise. David begins with his own heart and his own relationship with the Lord. So when we walk through this, think about your relationship. Think about your heart. Think about you personally in God. Look at the first three verses. David said, I will extol you. I will bless your name. He's saying, I will do this. I will bless your name. I will bless you. I will praise your name. And think about this. David is this great king of Israel. Well, he's a powerful dude, right? And he begins by saying, I will extol you. Which means I will lift you up. I will exalt you. I will set you on high. This is the most powerful man in this nation saying, I will do all this, my God. And what does he call him, church? Oh, King. Here we see a man after God's heart and recognizing his greatness. This is David, a man that killed animals with his bare hands as a shepherd. The same one that killed Goliath and the same king that led his army to victory in battles and led the nation of Israel. And he is recognizing and putting the attention on his king. I just love that contrast. So you have, yes, David was king of Israel, but God was king over David and all creation. And he writes that he will lift him up, that he will bless him, and that he will praise his name forever and ever. David's praise to his great God was not only done in a religious setting. It was done daily. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I love what he says in verse 3. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable, church. I love the book of Job. Job does a good job of describing this attribute of God. Look at a few verses with me. I think they're up on the screen. Job 5, 8 through 9. Job says, but as for me, I would seek God, and I would place my cause before Him. Look at verse 9. Who does great and unsearchable things, wonders without number. Then chapter 9, verse 10, speaking of God, he says, who does great things, unfathomable, and wondrous works without number. Chapter 11, verses 7 through 9. Can you discover the depths of God? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? They are as high as the heavens. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol, what can you know? Its measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. David reminds us that God's greatness is unsearchable. When we want an answer, we're people that like answers, right? We have them at our fingertips. We have Google, right? We have Yahoo. We have Bing. We have those types of things. I just had to add those in there so you know I wouldn't be paid off by Google, all right? So that was funny, people. Come on. All right. So when we want to know the answer to something, we run to the computer and we look it up, don't we? We look it up. We want to know. But you can't Google God's greatness, can we? I mean, I don't mean that in a silly way. You can't look. It's unsearchable. It's infinite. Think about our solar system. Anybody like me like to go out on their porch and their patio or whatever and just look in the sky? Anybody like that? Me? Okay, me and Okay, there's a couple of us. All right. So I appreciate you few people that don't leave me hanging up here. Even if you're lying, you're like, I'm not leaving him hanging up. All right. So, but when you go out and you look on the, I'm out on the back patio and I just look into the sky. It's amazing. I got this app on my phone. It tells me what is where, right? You guys have seen that, right? It tells you what's where. And it's amazing, but there's so much more than what we can see. And that's what's really cool. We've got all these observatories around here, right? And we continue to study space and we continue to learn about another star or another planet or another galaxy. And we began to see the greatness of God's creation and God being the creator of all that universe. He is even more searchable than all the universe. I mean, think about that. I mean, anybody counted all the stars, right? They've tried that before, right? In history, people have tried to count the stars. You can't do it. And God is even more unsearchable than that. And church, when we realize just how big and how great God is, and really that we can't even fathom how big He is, it changes us. It changes how we live and what we sing. And David writes this psalm of praise. By the way, psalm means praise. The psalm of praise, his praise, think about this. His praise, come in. Somebody's knocking back there. His praise is his heart's response to the greatness of God. You guys get that? His praise is his heart. Our praise, when we're here praising, when we're at home praising, our praise is our heart's response to the greatness of God. His adoration for God flows out of a personal relationship with Him. When we think about God's greatness and our response to Him, when we praise Him. Now here, I'm gonna kind of go counter some of our mentality here. When we praise Him, our praise doesn't begin with a guitar and vocals when we walk into this room. Are you guys with me on that one? And trust me, we do that. Like as Christians, even though we love God, sometimes we only give Him praise on Sunday morning when we're all worshiping together. But our praise doesn't begin with a guitar and vocals when we walk into this room. It doesn't begin at 10:30 with a room full of people. Our praise to our God begins in the heart of each of you and me. Each individual, as we express our gratitude for our relationship and the greatness of our Creator. David, this is what's great about him. He's in awe. He's in awe of God. He is in love with the fact that the Almighty God, the one that created everything, the one that tells the oceans where to stop, where the mountains where to, he the one that spoke all things into creation and gave us life. He is in love with the fact that the Almighty God wants a personal relationship with Him. Psalm 23, Psalm 139. He knows us intimately. He wants that relationship with us. And he can't stop rejoicing due to the fact that this great God, this God that His greatness is unsearchable, is so personal. I mean, think about that. The greatness of God, just put that in your brain, just the greatness of God. And then that he even knows your name. Right? I mean, knows how many hairs on your head. He knows the anxieties in your heart. He's so personal. And God, as we looked at last week, He's not this distant, mean guy, old man upstairs that's disconnected. Man, we take away from Him when we had talked about Him like that. He is involved in each life and cares about each life. In this room today, it's full of individual people that God has shown His greatness to. It is. And when we praise Him, when we lift Him on high, when we bless Him, we do these things because it's our heart's response to His greatness. That's what it is. It's our heart's response to His greatness. When we realize God to be so great, we can't stop talking about it. It fills us. It overwhelms us. So we extol Him. We lift Him on high personally. Church, your heart's response, my heart's response to God's greatness is to praise God personally. My wife's getting tired of me cranking up the Gaithers, but I'll tell you what, I like everything from Lecrae to the Gaithers, man. I like it all. Bill, is that okay, man? Lecrae all the way to the Gaithers, man. I don't know. Yeah, he's giving me a thumbs up. I thought you were going to kind of give me one of these, right? In between. But I just love sitting there late at night. We got this baby girl in our home that we're taking care of and fostering and loving on, and I take care of her late at night, and I just sit there. She's probably like, really? Foster daddy, you're going to make me listen to this guy again, but yeah, you were going to do it. But yeah, we just continually do it. It overwhelms us. We praise Him personally. And you know, here's the crazy thing about David. A lot of times when we look at these guys in Scripture, it's like, oh yeah, but these guys walked with Jesus. These guys were godly. These guys were like perfect in every way, right? His life wasn't perfect. In fact, it wasn't free of valleys and loss. He lost loved ones. He was chased and pursued to be killed by a king. He had problems with his own family, with his sons. He had battled with sin, deep sin in his life. His life was far from being perfect, but he served a God that loved him, that pursued him anyways. Praise God for that, right? Man, you can look back at your week and say, man, Jay asked a question in a group this morning with the youth group. It's like, man, if you could do something over again this week, what would it be? And you know, we get to think about it. We can't do life again, but what we can do is look at the greatness of God that restores us and forgives us. But he served a God that loved him but pursued him anyway. So we can gather here and praise God. We can live our lives. We can sing because God's greatness has filled our hearts with praise. And I'm just going to throw this out there. I've had some people talk to me about this. Jeff, I'm just struggling with that praise part. I'm struggling with the worship part. I'm struggling with really praising God. David shows us this. We need to reflect on God and His goodness, His greatness. We need to spend time just meditating, as He'll talk about here in a little bit. Just meditate on God's greatness in your life and what others have passed down to you. Personally, I love singing songs about God's love and His personal relationship with me, right? We get a lot of those songs, but I've got to spend time praising and singing and praising God for His might and His power and His greatness. Are you guys with me, man? I mean, it's just like, man, I'm good with the fluffy stuff and I'm good with the love stuff. I'm good with all that stuff. We need that because God is all those things. But God is a powerful God. Amen, church? I mean, He is mighty beyond our comprehension. So David says in verse 2, I will praise your name forever and ever. This psalm begins personally with David. And then as we said earlier, as we see this ever-increasing amount of praise given to our great God. So it's first with David and then we see others join in. Look at verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. David is writing this passage. The Lord is leading him to write this, by the way, expecting that and really knowing that God's greatness will be passed on and talked about and praised for years and years, really for eternity, right? It's going to be praised. I mean, you read Revelations, man. It's not going to be a boring little time where we just kind of stand there and... No, man, we're going to be rejoicing for the greatness of God. His great works, His mighty acts, they must be told to the next generation. So yes, I'm going to sit down with my little boys and the little girl and my wife and my family and my friends, and we're going to sit there and we're going to talk about how much God loves them and how much that Jesus died for him. And we're also going to say, man, God created this mountain. God gave you life. God created those stars. I like taking Jackson Brody outside and just like we watched the space station go by, you know, a couple weeks ago. We watched that go by in the sky, and we looked at all the stars, and my boys were telling me that there's the moon, there's the stars. I said, who made those? And he said, God did. You know, both of my boys are like, God did. You got to talk about the greatness of God. So, excuse me, getting choked up. So it begins with us. It begins in your heart, and then it flows out of you and passed on to others. And by the way, we have the privilege to pass on just who God is to others around us, including our children. Are you guys with me? We have the privilege to do that. It's not just a responsibility. It is a responsibility, but it's also a privilege. I was thinking about this question earlier this week, so I'm going to ask you this question. When was the last time that we told our children, our family, our friends, when was the last time we told anybody about the greatness of God? Right? I mean, think about that. I think about our hobbies. I think about our sports teams or favorite movies. Driving down the road, I've seen the window decals, right? You got whatever their family structure is, right? Jessica and I had one for a little bit. It was a dad and a mom and, you know, at that point, one kid and a dog. We had Spencer on there as well, you know, our little pug, right? So, but a lot of times, you know, you see, they're starting to get a little clever, right? They start putting other things on there. If you can show this picture, Kevin, this family right here, this particular family, they are Star Wars fans. Anybody Star Wars fan? All right, I'm going to put my hand down. All right, but anybody like Star Trek? All right? Wow, okay. These guys are huge Star Wars fans. They're going to pass that down to their kids. Have you ever like seen a mom and dad that are just nuts for Star Wars? Their kids become nuts for Star Wars, don't they? I mean, it's just crazy. I have some kind of cult following or something. I don't know, man. But it's just crazy. I mean, I'm just kidding. But they just love it. They're after it. They want to say, man, this is Star Wars and this is how great it is. For me, born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri, I'm a sports fan. I'm a fan of the Kansas Jayhawks, right? The Kansas City Chiefs, the world champ Royals, right? Kansas City baseball Royals. These are a few of my pictures. So this is Zach Greinke. He's actually in Arizona now, but he was the Cy Young pitcher for the Royals. We drafted him. And I actually, if you can see on the right, you see his name. And then right below that, there's actually some sand in there, the dirt and sand mixed in from the mound where he preached on. Wow. Where he pitched from. Wow. This one right here, Alex Gordon, man. Another rock star from the Royals, man. And there's an autograph that my sister actually got from me. What's the next one? There's, what's that? I don't know. He didn't preach anywhere. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if we want him to preach. But go ahead, Kevin. That's another shelf of mine. Okay. Now this right here, this is actually the cup I was drinking from as I'm studying, right? And so the Bible got the bigger part of the picture, right? But there's my Jayhawk cup. My boys definitely know who the Jayhawks are. They know who the Royals are, who the Chiefs are. You guys have sports in your house, right? Some of you guys maybe have, or maybe NASCAR or something. Man, I remember the last 2 years, the Royals in the World Series, the last 2 years. And they last year, the boys were just sitting there. And they're cheering on with me, right, man? I mean, they're cheering and they're rooting. Why? Because Daddy was. Right? Because Daddy was. Because Daddy had told them about the Royals. We're certain, church, here, hear me out. We're certain to pass on things to others. The greatness of things that we're passionate about. It might be pets, right? It might be our kiddos. It might be sports. It might be Star Wars or something. You know, it might be those types of things. And really, we do it with the hopes that they would love them like we love them. My boys know that I love my teams. I'm passionate about them. I'm intentional about it. And all of it's great. Because it allows for fun. It gives you something to rally around, right? It gives you something to have fun with your friends and family. But Star Wars and any other thing, baseball, football, all those things fail in comparison to the greatness of God. In fact, they don't even show up on the scale. And yet we are sure to make sure we pass on things like that. You know, I sit there and I was thinking about my boys. Man, I like to tell the greatness of the Jayhawk basketball program. Don't get me wrong, U of A has got a great basketball program, but there is history, there's greatness in the Jayhawk basketball program, and I tell my boys about it. They're like, yeah, whatever, right? And I tell them, man, the Royals finally made it to the World Series, right? And I tell them about the great season. But I can't miss, we can't miss when it comes to God and His greatness. We can't. We can't miss it. David here is, he's really saying, be intentional. Don't hold back. Right? Tell your kids, tell your family, tell your neighbors and friends, tell others about the greatness of God. Make sure they know of it. Make sure they see it. The Bible says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. It doesn't stay bottled up, guys. Right? It doesn't stay bottled up. David wants, he says, share it. Man, we want others to praise with us. We come here and we praise together, don't we? One of the youth said today, man, asking about the church family. What is it about the church families? Man, we just get to come together, right? We get to do that. We praise. He says in verse 6, men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. Verse 7, they shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. I like that. Look at that again. They eagerly utter the memory of God's abundant goodness, His overwhelming, His overpouring goodness, and shout joyfully of His righteousness. This isn't a forced celebration. This isn't a religious thing, guys, right? This isn't one of those things we stand there and sing in monotone or, you know, live our life in monotone. This isn't a forced celebration. To eagerly utter carries the meaning to flow, right? To cause to flow. It means to pour or gush out. How about this one? It means to belch forth. I was hoping my mother-in-law was in here because she hates belching. Yeah, I just want to belch forth, right? In verse 5, David says this, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works, I will what, church? I will meditate. David is meditating, which means he's remembering and he's pondering. He's studying and meditating on God's majesty and His wonderful works. I was looking at Bill up here playing guitar today. I was looking at his post on Facebook and he was taking pictures while he was out working. Just God's creation. Right? And you look at those and you're like, man, God, You are great. Right? And he's meditating on those things. He's thinking about what great things were told him as he was growing up, what things were passed down to him by his ancestors and by his friends, and what things he had witnessed God do. And the thoughts of God's goodness and His greatness and His majesty just flowed out of him. They came out eagerly of him like a belch. I know that sounds weird, but just think about when you belch. It just comes out, right? I mean, why? Because he's out, right? And think about it. That's really what he's describing here. He just wants out. I won't belch for you, but... And I love that. I love that definition was in there. It comes out like a belch. He shouted of God's righteousness with joy. It wasn't religious. It wasn't forced. It wasn't standing there and singing monotone. No, it was in his heart. It was in his heart. He spoke of it. He shouted it. Church, when you speak, what you speak of is a good indication of what is in your heart. Carry that with you. What you speak of is a good indication of what is in your heart. So when it comes to God, learn of it, recognize it, and meditate on God's goodness and His mighty acts so that they flow out of you. Like you're eating a bunch of pizza so it can belch out of you, man. Right? Sorry. Right, Levi? No. But that's it, man. We meditate on it. Are you guys with me on that one? Sometimes we skip over that stuff. It's like, man, how do I go to the Bible and find something that makes me feel better about my life? Or how do I go to the Bible and find an answer for this? Do those things. God will make you feel good. He loves you. He values you. He gives you answers in Scripture. But sometimes we just need to open up the Psalm, right? And we just say, God, You are great. Are you guys with me? Do that. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. All right. Verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The God is good. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. David was intentional. Well, mainly because the Holy Spirit was leading him and writing this. But he's intentional with his words here. He knows the Israelites are going to read this. These words would have jumped off the page at him, at these guys. It would take these words would take them back to Moses and God giving them the tablets. Right? The Ten, are you guys with me? The tablets, right? And Moses is on Mount Sinai receiving word and the commandments from God. The Lord had just delivered, think about this, guys. These guys have been in slavery forever, right? And God delivers them out of the mighty hands of the Egyptians. They're being pursued now because the guys, they changed their mind, right? And then what happens? He parts the sea. How was He leading them? With a cloud and with fire. God has shown His might to them. He had shown Himself and His greatness to these people. And while Moses is up talking to God, many of the people decided to do their own thing, make their own idol, and they began worshiping something they made with their hands. A false god. And then in Exodus 34, we see these great words from this mighty God to a people that had blatantly defied Him and rejected Him. He says these words, Exodus 34, 6 through 7. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquities, transgressions, and sin. David is reminding them of God's goodness and His greatness towards them. God had done all these great things in their life, right? And the people, they just sinned against Him. They had just witnessed these things. How often do we do that? Man, we're sitting there and God does something great in our life and then we just turn and we reject Him. And I think most of us, if we were God, praise God that we're not, right? But if we were God, we would have looked at Him and said, man, I showed myself to you. I saved your butt from those guys. I walked you right through this water, right? I did all of these things for you and you reject me? I might be one of those guys that said, all right, guys, I'm done. Right? You had your chance. That's it. But God tells Moses of His goodness and His patience. So this passage reminded them, it reminds us that God is great and He is also loving and kind. When we remember how good God has been to us, when we meditate and think on His greatness, we rejoice, we sing, when we and we praise. If you're having a hard time praising God, meditate on His greatness. Are you guys with me? That's the theme, right? We're going to meditate on that. So this praise for God's greatness begins personally with David, so with us as well. It spreads to people. Others join in and rejoice. And then we see the ever-increasing amount of praise extend to all of God's creation. Look at verse 10. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. All His works and all His people, those that follow Him. This covers it all. Everything that God has created, all that God has created, both creation and the people are going to bless Him. Are you guys with me? They're going to praise Him. Man, I like one day every knee will bow before the Almighty God. It might sound odd, but Scripture says that all earth, the creation, is going to praise Him. Psalm 19, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hand. And write that down, Psalm 19. We're not going to cover it all, but it's a great passage. Jesus Himself says in Luke 19:40 that the rocks will cry out in praise to Him. Nature will give praise to God, and those that call God Lord will praise God. Those who are in heaven and on earth, the angels who surround His throne are combining to proclaim His praise. David continues, all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. Verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to you, the sons of men, your mighty acts and the glory of your majesty, of your kingdom. So right, the generations pass it down. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Right there in verse 13, David writes of God's kingdom. He's speaking of God's rule over everything and over all times. Right? John MacArthur, I like how he said it. He says, God is the eternal king over all, from before creation and eternally thereafter. That's big, right? That's big. A great God. That's beyond our comprehension. And although God is great and ruler of all, He's still a gracious God. Walk through these next few verses with me. And we're going to highlight just some of His graciousness as He rules. Verse 14, the Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who bow down. So God, He loves us personally enough. He's going to sustain us and lift us up, those who are burdened and can't go on anymore. Verse 15, the eyes of all look to you. It says, you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. So God provides, right? Although He is God and King over all, He is able to provide for each and every living creation. That's a big God, church. Are you guys with me? Am I the only one getting excited up here? All right. God is a big God, right? I mean, He spoke all of this into creation. He even made you, Dave. Woo! That's a great God, right? And He takes care of us. He provides for us. He feeds us. He is the source of satisfaction for every living thing. Continue in verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all of His ways and kind in all His deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him. To all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Reminds me a lot of the shepherd, right? The Lord keeps all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless His holy name forever and ever. We'll get to that last verse. The last few verses remind me of last week's sermon of Psalm 23, where we see God is our shepherd. He is near us, right? He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He hears their cry. He will save them. He keeps us. And we see in here as well that God is a holy God, He is a just God, and He is a righteous God. It says in verse 20 that He will destroy the wicked. We can't forget that. We can't forget that. This is speaking of eternal separation from God in a real place called hell. This isn't just some make-believe place. It's not just going to be like, you know, we die and we come back into a different earth or anything like that. No, man, the Bible describes hell as a place of torment, an eternal fire, a place designed for Satan and his fallen angels, those that rejected and tried to overthrow God in heaven. But we follow God, or we follow darkness. Right? Hell is a place where people that reject Christ and His free gift of salvation will spend eternity. That's why we got to get excited about telling people about Jesus. Are you guys with me, church? Man, that's a real place. It's a real place. When we understand what hell is, we don't want to just save people from... I mean, you know, it's not just about saving them from hell, but that should drive us, right? I mean, we want them to live the life that God has called them to live. God has zero desire for any of His creation to go and spend eternity apart from Him. This is why Jesus came to die for our sins, and He made a way for us to spend eternity with Him. But we have the promise in verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him. You guys with me? The Lord is near to all who call upon Him. Just picture this, church. Picture the King, all of creation giving praises to that King. Are we praising Him? Why are we praising Him? Because of His greatness, right? Because of His greatness. And in all of the power and might, we still have Psalm 145, 8 and 9. You got all this majesty, all that Dan and Lori, thank you for reading those this morning, all that majesty and power that they're talking about, and we still have Psalm 145, 8 and 9 that says, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. Wow. That great God still loves us. We praise Him to make known to others His mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of His kingdom, as we see in verse 12. He is a great God that loves us. Man, we can see about, man, it's almost like you talk about the president or you talk about somebody in a really high power and you're like, man, to get close to that, it's like, whoa, whoa, but God is just right here, man. We don't have to go through Secret Service or nothing, man. We just go right in, right? I kind of want to do the Secret Service thing. I want to wear the ear thing. And what do you think, Gabe? You going to do that? Remember this. No. This is the last psalm that David writes. This is it. The Lord is leading him, but this is his last opportunity to put something down that will express all of his feelings and all of his emotions into one psalm, into one praise. Right? We've talked about that a lot with Jesus, like his last words before he went up, right? People's last words are important, right? Usually. It's his last opportunity to express all of his feelings and emotion into one psalm. And he writes, he doesn't write about how great of a king he was. He doesn't write about that he killed Goliath. He doesn't write about animals that he killed protecting the sheep. He doesn't talk about how many women he had or how many kids he had or how much money he had. What does he do? He writes about the greatness of God. Look at what he says in the last verse. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless His holy name forever and ever. What a great thing to say, right? Church, the question for us this morning, think about this question. You guys with me? What kind of song is your life singing? Is it singing the same praise as David's? Does your life sing of the greatness of God? Are you seeing each day? Are you seeing and recognizing? Are you meditating on the greatness of God? We have the opportunity to come here this morning. We get to gather together. We get to celebrate what God has done this past week. And we get to open up God's Word together, right? We get to do all those things. We also get to stand and sing together. Notice I said, together. It's not about these guys. It's about our audience of one. We sing together. Now, worship is more than a song, right? We know that. Worship is more than a song. It's a way of life. But when it comes to what we say and what we sing and what we proclaim, whether we are at home, whether we're in the car, or right here gathered together as a church family, as a church body, let's lift His name on high, church. Right? Let's lift His name on high. Let's praise Him. Let's sing like we mean it this morning. Are you guys with me? Let's sing like we mean it this morning and this week, throughout this week, man. Crank up some Lecrae or old time. I don't care, whatever it is. Man, turn it on and just sing to Him. Lift His name up this week. If you can't call God your Lord, if you haven't given Jesus your life, if you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ and believed on Him for your salvation, man, think about what today can be. Today can be the day that you begin praising Him for the great work He wants to do in your life. And for the work He had already accomplished for us on the cross. And He rose from the grave. Begin celebrating and praising the great God today. Sam and the group are going to come back and lead us this morning. Church, I'm going to challenge you, challenge myself as your pastor. Let nothing distract you. Come on up, guys. Let nothing distract you. Put your attention on God. Think about His greatness. Think about the mountains that we get to see every day. Think about the storms that come through. Think about the sky. Think about all the galaxies that we can't even count. Think about your loved one. Think about when you hold that baby in your hands. Think about the greatness of God, and let's praise Him for what He's worth. Amen, church? Are you guys with me this morning? All right? Woo! Man, that's two woos in one sermon. God, we love You. You are a great God and worthy to be praised. You are worthy than more praise than we can ever give You. But God, help us start right here where we are. Help us meditate on Your goodness. Help us meditate on Your works and Your creation and Your design. Help us meditate on Your Word. Help us meditate on the greatness of God.